Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
The word Advent means the coming or the arrival, okay? So it has to do with two things: the first coming of Christ and then the second coming of Christ. So there's this this anticipation for Jesus's arrival, right, that the people were experiencing, right? So we reflect on the anticipation of Jesus coming to earth, being born, right, in Bethlehem all those years ago. Okay, so there was that significance of God coming into the world as a human being to bring salvation to the world. But then we also get to still have that sense of anticipation because we're looking forward to the future return of Jesus when he will establish his eternal kingdom. So we still get to be excited, like there's still something coming. And I know that we probably don't talk about that enough, that Jesus is returning for his bride. But the scripture that I want to share today, the main scripture, is Hebrews 6, 17 to 20. And today we are talking about hope. Hope. I call hope confident expectation. All right, so there's that sense of expectancy, right? Something that you're looking forward to, wanting to have happen. But there's a confidence that goes with it. I feel like hope has this sense that it's definitely happening. It's coming. I know it is. All right, I haven't seen it yet, but I know it's coming. Hebrews 6, 17 to 20 says, God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. God does not lie. All right? He does not break his word. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Okay, this scripture is something that we get to really hold on to. We have this hope in Jesus. It is an anchor for our soul. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. It leads us into God's presence. It leads us into intimacy with God, closeness with God. And Jesus has already gone there before us. He's already done it. Everything that God did, Jesus demonstrates for us. And when he came to earth, he fulfilled God's promise to us. I love that because of him we have this hope. And I've been thinking a lot about hope because there's a lot of people that are hopeless right now. And I don't know about you, but like I have had things where I've just about lost hope on it. You know, I wanted it to happen, but I've kind of given up hope. And some of the things are, you know, more significant than others. Sure. You know, like I hope to go back to Kenya someday. You know, that would be great. I would like to go. But if I don't go, it's not that significant in my life. I loved going to Kenya. And if I got to go back, I would really love it too. But even though I hope for that, it's not like a burning hope, like where I just am confidently expecting that I'm gonna go. If it happens, it happens. You know, that's how I feel about that. But I have hope for like the salvation of my sister. You know, and there have been times where I've felt very discouraged and like giving up hope because I feel like she's very far from where God wants her to be and she has no interest. And I think, oh, my heart breaks. And it's easy to give up hope, right? But then we see in scripture, we have this hope. Our hope is not in people, but it's in Jesus, and it's an anchor for our soul. It's something that we can hold on to. My brother has a boat, and we've gone fishing sometimes, and we're out on the boat, and you have to throw out the anchor so that the boat doesn't just drift, right? Because what will happen is you turn off the engine of the boat, and you're fishing, and then who knows where the boat ends up, because it's just going to move with the water and the wind, right? Like just with the tide, who knows where the boat could end up. It could end up, you know, on rocks. It could end up, you know, grounded. It could end up, you know, way, 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 way out to sea if you're out in the ocean, you know? So this anchor is what holds us steady. And that is what our hope is in Jesus. So that is what helps us to stay confident in hope. Now, here's the thing. Does anybody like waiting? No, we do not like waiting. None of us do. Nobody does. My mom used to sing this song, and it was like, God, give me the patience. I want it now. And I used to laugh because I was like, yeah, that's how it feels. It's like, God, please give me patience. I want it right now. Like, I don't want to wait for it. I don't have patience. And I'm always looking for the shortest line, and I always find the longest line. And I think I found the shortest line just the other day. There was only one person in front of us, but this one person, somehow, with two items that they were buying, managed to take forever and forever. And everyone had gone through all the other checkout lines and were like, I guess we should go to a different checkout line. This one isn't working out. We don't want to be impatient, but we're like, I mean, we don't want to be here all day, you know? And man, it's not fun to wait. We don't like it, but here's one of the key points for today that I want you to hear. Waiting is never wasted when you are waiting on God. Lamentations 3:26 says, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It's good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And Isaiah 30 says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. Yet you would have none of it. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. It is so easy to bail on God at the first sign of trouble. It is so easy. And there are example after example after example in the Bible of people who experienced a promise from God and got impatient. They got tired of waiting. They didn't like God's timing. And they settled for shortcuts. We can settle for shortcuts. And when we do shortcuts, take matters into our own hands, it does not end well. So one of the things that I would say over and over again to anybody who would ask me, hope means that you're willing to wait on God. And waiting isn't wasted when you're waiting on Him. He is worth waiting on. He's worth allowing to just let things happen in His timing. Like I've said many times before, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His timing is not our timing. And so we have to let God be God. See, any promise of God is not empty of power. God will accomplish what He says He will accomplish in our lives. And so there are things, like I said, where I want to give up hope. It seems like all hope is lost. It seems like, how could God make a way? But God does make a way where there seems to be no way. He does. That's what He does. And I feel like most of the time, the whole point of that is so that God gets the glory and the honor and the worship and the praise. Because if it was easy to accomplish for us human beings, then God would get no credit. We wouldn't need Him. And so the point of it seeming hopeless is that our hope should not be in that situation or in that person, but hope is Jesus. And that is why we get to live with this great expectation, right? Just as as people were anticipating the coming of Jesus the first time, the coming Messiah, and a lot of people even missed it. They were hoping for the Messiah, and then they completely missed it when He came, right? But just as they felt this hope, this expectation, and just as we hope for Jesus's second coming, there is this incredible thing that happens when we are willing to wait on God, trust Him, His timing, His ways. His ways are much better than our ways. And like I said, I really am the first to say I don't like to wait. I feel like it costs me, you know, it's time that I don't have. But when I'm waiting on God and His purposes and His plan, it is not a waste. It's actually an investment. It's an investment because I don't want to just rush ahead without God. I don't want to speed through life and not do things God's way. I don't want to miss the people that God wants me to interact with and encourage along the way. Most of the time, the things that happen in my life that are slowing me down are actually opportunities for me to be an encouragement to somebody else. It's often when I'm stuck in that traffic or that line or whatever, and then something happens because I've slowed down. And so then I think, perhaps God wants us to slow down. He says it's good for us to wait on Him. It's good to slow down. And that hope is actually like a really healthy thing for us to have as human beings. That expectation for what God's gonna do. And I wanna encourage you with this other point. And that is you won't lose hope if you trust God's good intentions. You won't lose hope if you trust God's good intentions. I said that, you know, I've had things where I've started to lose hope. But when you lose hope, that means you're doubting God's good intentions. You're doubting that God has good stuff for you. That God has better things for your family than you could ever dream up for them. That whatever you're doing with your job, whether it seems good to you or not, that God's got good stuff up ahead. And I don't know the whole picture. I can't tell you because I'm not God. But God is working on your behalf. And if you trust His good intentions, you trust that God wants what's best for you, that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. If you trust that, then you will not lose hope and you will see God do miracles in your life. But here's the thing. This is the enemy's like primary tactic in our lives, is to get us to doubt God's good intentions. He just does. And so I think that what we get to do is practice recognizing that, all right? Because in the Garden of Eden, the serpent approached Eve with the question. He says, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And it was like planting this seed of doubt in her, like twisting the truth and making it seem like God was trying to like withhold some good fruit from Adam and Eve. That's what he was trying to do, trying to get them to doubt God's goodness. He said, actually, God knows when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And so his lie was to make them think that God was trying to limit them as human beings, limit their potential, right? Oh, you'll be so much better if you eat the fruit. And so God's trying to keep you from eating this fruit from this tree. He's trying to limit you. And so doubting God's good intentions for them. Jesus's temptation in the wilderness. So it happens to Jesus too. If it's going to happen to Jesus when he was here on earth, I would not be surprised it happens to us, right? We should not be surprised when it happens to us. Satan repeatedly attempted to distort God's word and his intentions, and he tried to bring Jesus away from trusting his Father. That's what he kept doing. Now, the cool thing about Jesus is he's also not just fully man, but he was also fully God. And so Jesus, even in this state of fasting, hungry, and weak as a human being, he knew in his spirit all the truth of God's word, and he did not allow the enemy to twist or pull him away from what God actually says and what God's good intentions are, right? And so it kind of highlights for us, we're supposed to be like Jesus. We're followers of Jesus, right? And so what we need to be is like Jesus. And what that means is we need to know God's word and be ready and recognize when the enemy is trying to get us to lose hope and doubt God's good intentions for our lives, okay? Because he will do it to all of us at some point. He will get you to try to doubt God's goodness. The enemy tried to question Job's loyalty to God, suggesting that Job's faithfulness was just because of the blessings God provided. He will do anything and everything he can to try to get us to doubt God, so that we'll be afraid, so that we will maybe become rebellious or put our trust in worldly things that we have control over. You know, like the scripture says, some trust in horses and some trust in chariots, but we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. And the idea of that was the horses and the chariots, that represented money and power, right? If you've got a lot of horses and a lot of chariots back in those days, that was wealth and power. And how easy is it for us to put our trust in financial things that we have or power that we have over other people? That's the reason why the governments of the world are such a mess today, because everybody's so hungry for power and for wealth, and they're trying to get it however they can, right? That's not God's design. That's man. That's our human brokenness. Human greed, right? Things like that. And so, but if we lose hope in God, if we do not trust God's good intentions, then we're going to put our faith and our trust in something else. And that is why we see so many people who, they're materialistic, consumeristic, right? We're obsessed with that kind of stuff because we feel like we can control that and we feel safe with that. All right, but here's the thing. I believe that God is the creator of all, and he raises up kings and lowers kings, and he will pour out blessing in so many different ways. Most of the time, finances are not really a blessing. So we need money to live, but the reality of it is, a blessed life is not a life that just has a lot of stuff, right? A blessed life is one that's at peace in your soul, that's at rest, that's able to wait on God. And we see this in our world that is so chaotic. Everyone is searching for something to give them hope. And we will put our hope in the next iPhone coming out, or the next, I don't know what it is. But you know, there's these things, and people are looking forward to getting this thing at Christmas, and it will fill me with hope. But that's only a temporary thing. It does not last, it does not fulfill, and it will not take care of that God-shaped hole that's in all of our hearts, right? So, I want to encourage you today that God wants us to put our hope in Him and Him alone. He wants to remind you today that those who hope in the Lord will find new strength. You will find a strength that you did not know that you had. And everything about Jesus in the New Testament, hope is fulfilled in the person of Jesus through His birth, life, death, and resurrection. All right? And this Advent, as we're talking about hope, it reminds us of the hope that we have in Jesus' return. It says in Revelation 21:4, He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. I want to remind you today that this life, even in the brokenness, even in the things that don't make sense, is temporary. We have this hope in Jesus that's an anchor for our soul. He is coming back, as it says, to wipe every tear from the eye. There will be no more tears. There will be no more heartache. And so that is a hope that I have as an anchor for my soul, that all of this is temporary. And we have hope in Jesus. That is incredibly good news. I believe that God wants to remind us today that He is working in our lives, that when we're waiting on Him, it's not a waste, and that He is good. He wants to remind you today that He is good. He is good. Let's not doubt His goodness. Let's not doubt His love. Let's not doubt that He has a plan and a purpose. And when you look at the whole of the Bible, what you can see is that God really cares about people, because God goes out of His way not only to create us, not only to create man and woman, but to find a way to restore us to right relationship with Him. Everything that we see throughout history, what God's doing, is all about restoring us to Himself, because He loves us. So we're not out here having to ask God or beg Him to be good to us, or to pour out favor on our lives, or to heal us or restore. He's excited to do it. It's what He wants to do. He wants us to have hope in Him, to look to Him for what we need, not to look to the other things. So here at Christmas, it's interesting because we're caught in a very interesting place where there's a lot of things other than Jesus that are being thrown at us. Is that a surprise? Of course not. Of course the enemy would try to hijack a day to celebrate the coming of our Savior. Of course he would, and try to distract us. He could make you feel bad because you don't have enough money to buy everybody the gifts that you want to buy. He could make you feel stressed because you don't do things the way that other people do. He could make you obsessed with all the decorations and none of the waiting quietly on the Lord and listening to His voice. He could really fill your whole next 25 days with a bunch of stuff other than Jesus and His presence in your life. But I think that what Jesus wants is for us to just put our hope in Him and to have this confident expectation that He's going to show up in our lives in this season. That this will not be a season of stress for you. That this will not be a season of distraction. that it will be beautiful, that yes, we will have fun treats like hot chocolate after service. Yes, we will enjoy the sparkling lights and these things, but everything will remind us Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus loves us. He cares about us. He's the beauty in the world. Every good thing that we get to experience is because of him. So whether you're with your family or your friends or you're by yourself, whatever you're doing, as we give to the homeless and we prepare shoeboxes for needy children or toiletry kits for the homeless or whatever it is that we're doing, that everything about this season is all about the fact that Jesus came to bring us hope. He is hope for the world. His hope is inside of us, and we want to share that with other people. So can we be intentional about that in this season? I believe that God's Spirit is just like going to rest on all of us as we walk out the doors today. We're not going to feel anything except this yearning for his presence in this season. A yearning to see him, to feel him, to hear him, and to know him better than we have ever known him before. This is a time to draw near to God, right? Scripture says, draw near to God, he will draw near to you. And so as you make that space, as you choose to wait on him, as you choose to trust in God's good intentions, and you know what? We can even pray together right now, and we're going to take just a moment to pray together, but maybe you can even say to the Lord, I'm sorry, God, for the times that I've rushed my way through stuff. I'm sorry, Lord, for where I have doubted your good intentions because you don't seem like you are doing things right in my life. It doesn't make sense sometimes. And I wonder, are you really good when I see all the not good things happening in this world? Lord, I pray that you help me to trust bigger picture, that you do not fail. That not a single promise of yours is empty of power. You will accomplish what you say you will do in our lives, Lord, I thank you.
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.